깨어나 힘을 얻는 깨는 샤락샤락하여 축심을 이점에 나타스마이 시그르베르 마음. So I got some feedback. Some of you tried some of the things we suggested yesterday. One person told me that they recited every single one of the prayers and they didn't have much time for japa. So it's not like you have to do all the prayers. You choose one prayer and then you say that. You don't do every single... It's just like I gave you a lot of choices yesterday. And it's not like you do them all at once. You just do one for one day, and not all of them for one day. Did anybody else try something this morning that we practiced yesterday? Okay. So we'll start... yes?
Last night.
What's that?
I tried to make an affirmation.
You tried to make an affirmation?
Last night,
okay. You're so busy that you didn't have time to chant. Okay. What to do? Try to do it on a day that you're not so busy, that you have time to chant. So we're going to start today. Today's seminar will be on the books of Srila Prabhupada. We're going to start with a prayer to Srimad Bhagavatam by Sanatana Goswami. So you can pass these out. You'll have to share with this prayer. And then we'll go over the prayer afterwards. So we'll start with the prayer, and then we'll discuss a bit of our experiences with Prabhupada's books, yours and mine. And then we will do an exercise where we will, each one of us will ask a personal question to Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, and we will get our answers. Then we will discuss a bit more about these prayers, and at the end we will do an exercise by Burijan Prabhu called Prayerful Reading. And I think some of you might have already done this exercise, but we will, if you haven't, then we will do it now. And it's a way to read Srila Prabhupada's books in a very deep and prayerful way. So we'll start with this song. Are there enough copies to share? Who doesn't have? Okay, does anybody here? Can anybody share? Okay, we need one copy back here. Okay, you can share together, and then we need one more copy in the back. Okay, you can pass it over there. They have extra. Okay, here comes a copy. Oh, okay. Well, now, okay. Good, good. So, everybody has access to a copy. Good. So, I'll sing one line and you repeat. Sarva-shastapti-piyasha.
Sarva-shastapti-piyasha.
Sarva-vedaika-satphala. Sarva-sirantaraknatya,
Sarva-sirantaraknatya,
Sarva-lokaika-jikpada,
Sarva-lokaika-jikpada,
Sarva-bhagavata-prana,
Sarva-bhagavata-prana,
Śrīmad-bhāgavata-prabhu,
Śrīmad-bhāgavata-prabhu,
Kalichanto-ticharitya,
Kalichanto-ticharitya,
Śrī Krishna Parivartita,
Śrī Krishna Parivartita.
O Śrīmad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas, O you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna who has returned among us. Paramananda Pataya,
Paramananda Pataya,
Prema Vashakshara Yate,
Prema Vashakshara Yate,
Savara Shri Krishnaya Namastite.
Shri Krishnaya Namastite.
O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss. For your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. Made kabanda matsange.
Made kabanda matsange.
Makurama mahatana.
Makurama mahatana.
Mani starakamad bhagya.
Mani starakamad bhagya.
Marananda namostute.
Marananda namostute.
O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Asaru sattu tadayan.
Asaru sattu tadayan.
Atini cha chataraka.
Atini cha chataraka.
Hanamunchikara chinma.
Hanamunchikara chinma.
O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please don't ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. So here on the board here we have the points from this verse with one added point. The first point. Now, sometimes you may wonder, well, how should we study Srimad Bhagavatam? What is the purpose of studying Srimad Bhagavatam? So if you study this prayer of Sanatana Goswami, then you will understand that this is the purpose. The first purpose of studying Srimad Bhagavatam is to invoke the presence of Lord Krishna. In the first canto, in a purport, Srila Prabhupada said that one should hear with rapt attention from the real person, then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. This is a purport of 1344. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Shri Krishna in person in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the first purpose of studying Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam, is to bring Lord Krishna into our midst. It is also said that when Srimad Bhagavatam is being spoken, then a very special personality is present. When the sages were speaking Bhagavatam at Naimisharanya, there was a very special person, one of the demigods. Does anybody know which demigod comes for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? There's one demigod. Lord Shiva. Somebody else. He may also come. Lord Brahma, he may also come. But there's, it's, who? Narada Muni. He's not exactly a demigod, he's a sage. He probably comes too. But there's one person who comes, and he is Yamaraj. So that's why the sages said, as long as we are speaking Bhagavatam, none of us has to fear death. Yamaraj likes to come to hear Bhagavatam. So all of you should go to Bhagavatam class, and during the class at least, you will not have to fear Yamaraj. So that's the first point, to invoke the presence of Lord Krishna when we are speaking, hearing, or studying Bhagavatam. The second point, to get spiritual vision from the sun of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we can use to change the quality of our lives. We are blind, but Bhagavatam, explained by Srila Prabhupada, will give us the light to see everything properly. So, I just gave a seminar in New Zealand, and in this seminar we were talking about the prayers of Queen Kunti, and for every prayer, for every verse, we were taking home some homework, how to apply it to our lives. For example, Kunti was seeing Krishna in many different ways. So then I was asking the devotees, okay, you please today see how you can see Krishna in your life. Just, he may be without, he may be within, but please try to see Krishna in your life. You can try that tomorrow also. Just try the whole day how you can see Krishna in your family. Sometimes it's hard to see Krishna in your family members. See Krishna in your family, or see Krishna at your work. It might be hard to see Krishna in your fellow workers as well. Or in your school, and the students and the teachers. It might be hard to see Krishna there. So it's a good exercise to do. Then the next point is to serve Srimad Bhagavatam. To serve Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is the sound incarnation of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna himself, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So therefore we should always be serving Krishna in the form of Bhagavatam. Then the next point is to make Srimad Bhagavatam our friend, our guru, our companion, our deliverer, and everything. And the last point of Sanatana Goswami is to experience a change of heart, leaving aside our attachments, our anarthas, and understanding how we are a servant of Krishna and a servant of the servant of Krishna. And the last point which I have added is to understand Srila Prabhupada's mood and mission expressed in the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam. So before we discuss, before we ask Krishna our personal questions, I would like to ask you to tell me what experience you have had with Srila Prabhupada's books. What has been your experience in your life? Okay, so your experience with Prabhupada's books is very simple to understand. Anybody else have some experience with Srila Prabhupada's books? How many of you decided to become a devotee by reading Prabhupada's books? So many. Yes, that really helped a lot, reading Prabhupada's books. So just by reading the book, you decided to change your whole life. Change or make a whole change in your lifestyle. Yes? You had something? Okay. So the wonderful thing that you found was that Prabhupada's books tell you that about the Absolute Truth, and that the Absolute Truth is a person. Yes, we have two seats left for the lucky people. Oh, we've got three, so whoever comes next has to sit somewhere else on the stage. Okay? So, anybody else have experience with Srila Prabhupada's books? Yes?
Before reading Srila Prabhupada's books, I read so many Bhagavad Gitas.
You read so many Bhagavad Gitas. Me too.
It didn't make any difference.
Didn't change, it didn't make any difference. Yes. And after reading Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, then it made all the difference in the world. Yes, these books are so wonderful. So, I'd just like to read a poem written by one of my students in the Bhakti Vaibhava class. This was the first year of Bhakti Vaibhava, and this student wrote a beautiful poem about Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'd like to share it with you. Oh, Srimad Bhagavatam, you are my guiding light. You teach what is living and what is right. You amaze me with insight and bring everyone delight. And truth, so rare in this world, shaking in fear of death, war, and disease. You open the door and put my mind at ease. Sometimes you expose myself to beauty so unique that it has no comparison in this place of duality. Sometimes you expose myself to myself with teachings sublime and lift me from despair, the stagnant despot. I cling to my attachments which are useless, I see, your light so inspiring. I am forced on and on to approach you, my Lord, through your sweet songs and hear of your devotees, heroes, and saints, whose eagerness to hear of your pastimes is superb. So my shackles loosen with each word, helping me to be truly free, some blessing bestowing me by absolute mercy. I turn your pages with childlike excitement and pray I may not ever divert to the useless darkness of desire and hate. My Savior has come, why should I wait? Too many lifetimes of I, me, and mine. Now please take me on a journey beyond all time. Beautiful Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, Gurudev, and Vaishnava, in the core of my heart, that is all I'm after. We hear of Arjuna, Krishna's dear friend, and Hanuman's love for Ram, but what greater hero than Srila Prabhupada, whose compassion has saved so many lost and forlorn souls, whose majesty and grace continue to grow and change the hearts of those caught up in this Maya's place. So this was his first year realization of Bhaktivaibhava, of course. So I'll tell you a little bit about my experience with Prabhupada's books. The first book I got in 1970 was entitled Who is Crazy? And in those days, everybody thought the devotees were crazy because we were not dressed in the usual Indian saris and dhotis. We had sheets, yellow sheets for grihasthas and orange sheets for brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. So when people saw us on the streets, they thought, you know, these people are crazy. So then Prabhupada wrote an essay, Who is Crazy?, showing that everyone is crazy except the devotees. Nobody is sane in this world because they are after something which is temporary and which will cause them more and more suffering. So how we got this book, my husband was walking on the street in Boston, and we were very poor hippies in those days. We didn't have much money, especially since my husband had decided to follow the hippie philosophy of I won't work. Work is against the philosophy of hippies. So my husband was... I worked a little bit, like 2 or 3 hours a day. Not too much. But he wouldn't work at all. So we have very little money. So when this devotee came, it was Jadarani Mataji, and she came with this little pamphlet, Who is Crazy? And it said on the front cover, 50 cents, half a dollar. So my husband thought, okay, I got her. All I have is 25 cents. So... he said, well, I just don't have enough money. And he pulled out his 25 cents and showed her. So she grabbed the money and gave him the book and went away. And he had to walk home. That was his bus fare to come home. He had to walk 2 miles at home with the, and he got his book. But anyway, that book actually changed our lives. We went to the temple and we asked the devotees what to do. And they said, you have to chant, dance, and eat prasadam. So we tried it. And it was very wonderful. And before I was a devotee, I used to read from the age of 7. I would take out this many books from the library every week. And my goal was to read the whole library by the time I would become grown up. But then I got Prabhupada's books, and that was it. I didn't have to go to the library anymore. I had to read Bhagavad Gita at least 5 times before I could understand the word. So Prabhupada's books were very unique in my life also. And one of my first services was to type Bhagavad Gita as it is. It was going to be published by Macmillan. So the first day I joined the temple, I walked in. Then Pradumna, who is the Panditji, he said to me, oh, we need typists very much. So we have this machine, it's called a composing machine. We didn't have computers in those days. We have what is called a composing machine. It was like about 6 feet tall. It's called typesetting now, I believe, typesetting. So what we would do is we would type the Bhagavad Gita once through, and while we were typing, we had to transliterate also as we were typing from Sanskrit to English. So the first day I walked in, he said, now you have to learn to read Sanskrit because you have to transliterate this book. So he gave me Ishopanishad. He said, there in the back is all the letters, so you just learn how to read, and then you have to transliterate the Bhagavad Gita. So after one day, I learned Sanskrit, how to read anyway. I didn't understand it. So then I was typing this. You have to type, and every time you get to the end of one line, you read these dials on the machine, like it's for a letter and a number, like C4. Then at the end of your line, you type C4. So every line, you had to type a letter and a number. So then, that was the first time. Then second time through, you're on photographic paper. It's the final copy. So then you have to, every time, the beginning of your line, you have to set the machine, like C4. And then you have, every line you had to set it, what the number and letter, and then it would come straight. And that was called composing. Now, if you made a mistake, then you had to retype the word, and they would cut the word out and paste it over. And that's how cut and paste, it was actually cut and paste before. That they would actually cut the word out and layout meant their layout all over the place. The thing, all the pages, or the photographic pages, were laid out all over the room, and they would cut and paste the word that you made a mistake on. So that was one of my first services, to typeset Bhagavad Gita. At the same time, I was typing Krishna book, and one of my first stories was Dvibida Gorilla, which was quite interesting for me since I didn't know anything about it. But these were some of the things we had to do. And then I moved to India, and in India there were no books. So when the Mayapur festival started in 1974, then I was watching all the devotees, if anybody had a book, and I would go and beg a book from them. And that's how I got the full set of Chaitanya Chaitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is at the Mayapur festivals, begging the books from the devotees. Because in India, they didn't come till after Prabhupada left the planet. I think in the 80s, the books finally made it to India, except for Bhagavad Gita. We didn't have hardly any books. But I got all the books, because I was determined. And so then I used to go on Sankirtan, and when I moved to Bombay, then I was doing book distribution all over India. Not over India, just Gujarat, Maharashtra. And your mother also, Radhakun, she was doing in Gujarat. And we also joined her sometimes, and we were doing in Maharashtra and Rajasthan, and also in UP. So, and also sometimes I would go down to the, from Juhu Beach down to downtown Bombay. It's about an hour's train ride. And I would read the whole Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit going and coming back every day. So I was always like into the books. And then finally, after 24 years of just somehow or other reading the books, I was pujari for 7 years, and then I was selling the books. You don't have time to read so much. And then I was a mother. So after that, after 24 years of doing other services, finally I got the service to read the books and study. So then I became really happy, because now I can read all I want. That's all I have to do, is just read and study the books. And one thing I found very nice in my study, one way to study, there's many ways to study, but one way of studying that I found was to combine the chanting of Hare Krishna and the reading of Prabhupada's books. Sometimes I would have a question that I could not answer. I would have to teach Srimad Bhagavatam, and sometimes I couldn't answer the question. So what I would do is I would read the verse that I didn't understand, then I would chant one round of Hare Krishna. And after the end of one round, I would usually get the answer or the understanding. And one time I had a whole very difficult chapter, Canto 3, about time. All the different times, like the demigod's time and our time and Brahma's time and Vishnu's time. And I didn't understand it, so I read the whole chapter and then I chanted all my 16 rounds. And then I got a whole chart after that I gave to the students of Bhakti Vaibhava, a whole chart of all the different times and how it fit together. So it's nice to combine the chanting and the reading, I found. And I also found that sometimes you have a problem or some question you don't know how to answer, then you can ask Krishna in the books. You open up the book and you find the answer. So today we're going to do something like that. It might take some time. We have so many people here. But we'll do it anyway. So I want you all to write down a question that you would like to ask Krishna. It can be about devotional service. It can be about your life. It can be about some problem, or you just want to, like, know how to advance in spiritual life, or what is the next step I should do if you have a problem with overeating or anything. You can ask Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Just, if you don't have a pen, then just think of it, and then you can just remember the question. Then I'm going to have some devotees going around the room. And they will have some cards here, Bhagavad Gita cards. Maybe some of you know these cards. And each one of you will choose a card, And then you will look on the other side and write down the answer that it says on that side. And then you will give the card back. You don't get to keep these cards. And then so that we have enough for everybody to go around. Because there aren't enough cards here. So I need two volunteers on this side and two volunteers on this side. And you also get a chance also, don't worry. So one person will be giving the cards out along with a pen. If they need a pen and paper, you can give them a pen and paper. Otherwise, they can just write it down. Just all you have to do is write the word down. And then later, I have an explanation of the words here, which are verses and purports from Bhagavad Gita. Okay? And then the second person will collect the cards. Okay? So I need two people here. Okay, you can pass out the cards, and then you can have the pen, and then you collect the cards. Okay, and on the lady side, we have somebody here. And don't give them a card. They have to choose themselves. Make sure they choose. Okay, now somebody has to go with a pen and you collect the cards. Okay. Yeah, let them choose. Let them choose. Then you get your answer. Okay, just write down the word and then give the card back. That's all you have to do. Write the word down. The explanation will come later. Now, in the meantime, does anybody have any questions while we're passing out these cards? And Srila Prabhupada's, yes?
How many questions do
you get? Just ask one because just one at a time. One at a time. So you have to collect the cards also. Besides giving out the paper and pen, you must collect the cards back and then give them to the other lady. Yeah. Anybody else have a question? Yeah, the cards are going to make it back eventually to the back of the room. Yes? Write down the word and give the card back. And then I will tell you the more explanation, okay? Just write the word down and give the card back. Okay? Are the cards getting to the back of the room? Okay, raise your hand if you need a card. Raise your hand. Okay, a few more are left there. In the back there, in the back they need cards. See all those people in the back with their hands up? You have to go back there. Go back to the back of the room with the cards for the men. Go back. Okay, to all the ladies, you can collect his cards also. Pass your cards to the front if you've already written your word down. I will explain after. You just write your word down. Okay, raise your hand if you don't have a card. Okay, way over here. Only one left. That man over there with the child needs a card. The man with the child in the back. Okay. So collect all the cards. Now, would anybody like to know more about your answer? Okay, raise your hand. Oh. Well, we'll just have to select a few here. Okay, one from the men's side. Yes? Okay, what was your answer?
Protected.
And what was your question? No question. Okay, protected. So this is what you need to hear, even without any question. Okay, and collect all the cards and return them. Whoever has the card, please pass it to the front. Those who are not deluded, the great souls are under the protection of the divine nature, fully engaged in devotional service, because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. 9, 13, and 14. So anybody have a question? Your bird was expert, and what was your question? Okay, so should I continue with Sadachar or should I compromise with my studies? And the answer is expert. Okay. My devotee, who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. Devotee is always expert because he fully knows the essence of all activities of life and is convinced of the authoritative scripture. Pure devotee does not endeavor for anything which is against the principles of devotional service. So it sounds like don't compromise to me. Okay, yes, over here in the lady's side. Yes? Your question? Am I ever going to get to paint? Modest. That's a very enigmatic answer. Okay. Well, there may be failure in some attempt, but one should not be sorry for that. He should make progress with patience and determination. Okay? Yes.
Renunciation is
devotion. Okay, you got renunciation. What was your question?
My question was whether to actually accept a promotion or look for career probation.
A promotion in your job?
Yes.
Whether or not to accept a promotion. And you got renunciation. So bad here. Real renunciation means you should always think yourself to be a part of the Supreme Lord, so whatever action you do should be performed for His pleasure. So if you think it will be pleasing to Krishna, you can accept the promotion. Anybody else have an answer? Yes?
My question was, when can I retire from corporate life?
When can I retire from corporate life?
And I got the word undisturbed.
Undisturbed. Okay. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always sealed, can alone achieve peace, and not one who strives to satisfy such desires. That's 270. In life, there are many disturbances caused by our own body and mind, by other living entities, and by nature. One who has learned to tolerate these disturbances is called undisturbed. So it sounds to me like you have to wait till that time. First become undisturbed in your business life, and then when it's time to retire, then you remain undisturbed. It's just, this is the consciousness you need to keep right now, and not to worry. Anybody else want to know? Yes. The question is
to remember
I'm not this body.
And my thought was non-violence.
Non-violence. Okay. Non-violence. That you're not this body. Oh. This is about distribution. Nonviolence is generally taken to mean not killing or destroying the body, but actually nonviolence means not to put others into distress. People in general are trapped by ignorance in the material concept of life, and they perpetually suffer material pains. One should try his best to distribute real knowledge to the people so they may become enlightened and leave this material entanglement. That is nonviolence. So the best way to know you're not this body is to preach. And that will make you actually be able to realize you're not the body. Help others. Help others realize it. Okay, any other question here? Yes?
My question was how to do my duty and still be detached.
How to do my duty and still be detached.
And the answer was equal.
Equal. Oh, okay. Equal. How to do your duty and be detached. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision. A learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, elephant, dog, and dog eater. Those whose minds are established in being equal to all have already conquered conditions of birth and death. So it seems that your vision needs to become equal so that you can be detached. They are not attracted by material sense pleasure, always enjoy pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. Okay, anybody else have an interesting answer that you would like to know the meaning behind? Okay. Everybody's satisfied now. Where? Oh, okay.
My question was how to do my service more and more in the mode of goodness.
How to do your service more and more in the mode of goodness. Not in the passion mode.
My answer was following the injunction of scriptures.
Following the injunction of scriptures. That's how you get in the mode of goodness. Okay, we'll see what that says here. Those persons who execute their duties following injunctions of scripture faithfully, without envy, become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. But those who out of envy disregard these teachings and do not follow them regularly are to be considered bereft of all knowledge, befooled, and ruined in their endeavors for perfection. Okay? Anybody else would like to know? Okay. So, when you get a chance, you don't need these cards. You can just open your Bhagavad Gita or your Srimad Bhagavatam and you can get an answer to your question. Yes?
My question is,
how to utilize time to read Prabhupada's books?
My card is desireless.
Desireless. Okay. Well, if you have a whole lot of other desires, then that might get in the way. So let's see, desireless. What it says here. Those who are free from desire and anger, who are self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation in the Supreme in the very near future. Person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. That's the Bhagavad Gita 5, last verse, 29. And there's another verse. 5, 26 and 29. Okay, so we'll go to our next project here. And that is to, I'm going to ask the question, why should we read Prabhupada's books? What is the benefit? What is the reason? Somebody can stand up here and write the answers. Yes? Can you write? Okay, thank you. Okay. Why read Prabhupada's books?
Association. To get association of
Srila Prabhupada. Good. Another reason?
Elevate our consciousness.
What else? Why else?
Take the right decision in life.
Wow, that's really good. Whenever you need to make a decision, just open up Prabhupada's books and you'll find which decision you should make. Yes. Any other reasons?
To set the standard.
Set standards.
Set set standards. Yes, his books will set the standards for your life and for everyone else's life. Anything else?
To see things as they are.
To see things as they are. Very good. To see things as they are. Vision. What else? Become purified, yes? No false knowledge. Get real knowledge, in other words. Get purified, get real knowledge. Another reason? Get rid of our anarthas. Wow, this group is really wants to advance spiritual life. These are good ideas, this decision making. Yes?
To develop love for Krishna.
Oh, to develop love for Krishna, yes. This is the prayojan, the ultimate goal of life. Develop love for Krishna. Okay, any other? Yes? Take instruction from Prabhupada. Yes, he is here. He says, I will never die. I live always in my books. Any other reason?
Self-realization.
Yes, I noticed some of you brought the science of self-realization today. So, yes. Self-realization. Yeah, anything else? To know the real meaning of life. Yes, how many of you are students here? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes. They don't teach this in your schools, do they? They don't teach all these things. None of these things. In Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Boston, he lectured and he said, where is your department of the soul? At MIT. They didn't have a department of the soul. Okay? Anything else? Yes?
To see how great devotees dealt with the calamities in their lives.
That's a really good reason. To see how great devotees dealt with calamities in their lives. Okay? Thank you. You have one more? Yes?
To know Krishna.
To know Krishna. Okay? To love him and to know him. Yes. How else will we know if we don't read these books? And we're going to be living with him the rest of our lives up in the spiritual world and all the bridge bossies, so we should get to know them, who our neighbors are going to be and our family members. We should get to know something about them because it's going to be quite different from who they are in this world. Of course, Prabhupada did say there will be an ISKCON up in the spiritual world, so might be have a lot of the same people up there. As you have right now. There you go. So it's good to get along with each other. Because you might be with each other for a long time. Okay. Thank you very much. So Srila Prabhupada said that he also reads his own books. Did you know that? Prabhupada reads his own books? Yes, you knew. So one time Prabhupada asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhagavad Das, do you know this verse? And neither of them knew the verse. So Prabhupada said, you are not reading my books? Every day you have to read, study, learn my books just like a lawyer learns the law books. You must know everything, chapter and verse. If you do not know, how will you preach? Do you know every day even I read my own books? Do you know why I read my books? Why did Prabhupada read his books? Who can tell me? Yes, you got the answer. Krishna, he said, Prabhupada said, because even I learn something new when I read my books. Because every morning when I sit here to write my books, Krishna comes personally and dictates to me what to write. So when we read Prabhupada's books, we're hearing the words from Krishna himself. Krishna is dictating to Prabhupada what to write. I simply take dictation from Krishna to write these books. Therefore, when I read, I learn something also. Then Vaisheshika, he's a big book distributor, had a darshan with Srila Prabhupada and all the book distributors. And Prabhupada said, you must read the books. I've painstakingly translated these books for your benefit because I want you all to become pure devotees. So now I'd just like to analyze a little bit these prayers, which I gave you in the beginning, prayers of Sanatana Goswami. A few of the verses, the first verse has some very beautiful analogies or explanations of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the first one is Sarvashastavdi Piyusha, nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures. Now, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 8th canto, there is a pastime of churning the ocean of milk. How many of you have heard of that pastime of churning the ocean of milk? Yes. So when there were, the demigods and demons were both churning the ocean, and many, many things came out. Who can tell me what came out of the ocean after it was churned, the ocean of milk?
Poison.
Surabhi. Lakshmi. Airava, yeah. Parijata. Moon. And what was the best thing that came out?
Nectar.
Right, very good. So, now they were churning the ocean of milk, and now came nectar. Now, when you churn the ocean of the Vedic scriptures, what comes out? Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's the nectar. The nectar that comes out when you churn the ocean of the Vedas is Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the first line. What comes out when you churn the ocean of the Vedas? Second line is Sarva Vedaika Sat Phalam. It's a transcendental fruit of all the Vedas. So in one sense, the Vedas are like an ocean. In another sense, the Vedas are like a desire tree. Because you can get everything you want from the Vedas. Now, what is Srimad Bhagavatam on this desire tree?
Ripened fruit.
Very good. Ripened transcendental fruit. It's like a ripened fruit. Ready to eat. Without any seed and without any skin. It's like juice. Juice. You can drink it. Yes. Shukadeva Goswami was drinking it and digesting it and giving it to us. So, two examples. The Vedas are like an ocean. The Vedas are like a desire tree. And Bhagavatam is like the nectar churned from the ocean, and Bhagavatam is like the ripened fruit of the desire tree. Now the third analogy, all in one verse, beautiful, beautiful comparisons. The third one, Sarasiddhanta Ratnadya, enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions. So the third picture is of a treasure chest. There is a treasure chest, and the Bhagavatam has all the jewels of that treasure. So it's like an ocean, it's the nectar of the ocean, it's the ripened fruit of the tree, and it's like the jewels of the treasure chest of the Vedas. That's why we study Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a verse in Garuda Purana, it's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that in Srimad Bhagavatam, the meaning of Vedanta Sutta is there, the whole purport of Mahabharata is there, commentary on Brahma Gayatri Mantra is there, everything is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. So then the next line, Sarva Lokaika Drik Kala, that you grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world. Does anybody know a verse about how Bhagavatam is compared to something that gives vision? There's a very beautiful verse in Bhagavatam. Puranarko Tino Titha. Yes, it is the sun. Bhagavatam is the sun that has risen in this Kali Yuga to dissipate the darkness. Just like Gornitai. You have, what are the names of your Gornitai here?
Gornitai.
Okay, very good. Because the last temple, it was Nitai Gorchandra. So I never know what their names are going to be. They're not just Guru Gornitai. So Gornitai is also, they are also like the sun. And Bhagavatam is like the sun. There are so many suns, the holy name. But Bhagavatam is one of the suns that is giving light in this age of Kali. And people in this age of Kali, the problem is not that there is no light. It is a dark age. Kali Yuga is undoubtedly a very dark age. And it's not a problem that there is no light. It's not dark because there is no light. It's dark because people don't want to see the light. Light is there, but people would prefer to be in the darkness. So this is the problem of the age of Kali. Then the second verse, Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu, a life breath of the Vaishnava devotees. So Srila Prabhupada in a lecture, he said, don't waste time. As much as possible, try to hear Bhagavatam, Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Bhagavatam is very, very dear to the Vaishnavas. In Vrindavan, you'll find they're always reading Bhagavatam. Not only are they reading, it's on the loudspeakers 24 hours a day. There's always a Bhagavat Sapta going on in your neighborhood. Or every week, practically, there's these huge billboards and there's Bhagavat Saptas. So, but Prabhupada said they like that is their life and soul. And Bhagavatam is so nice. Anywhere, any condition, simply by reading Bhagavatam, you will be happy. So we should try it. Try to be happy by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Gaurini Thai, they have risen like the sun and the moon simultaneously, and they have come to destroy the darkness in the core of our hearts. Just like the sun destroys the darkness of this world, so Gaurini Thai destroy the darkness of our heart. And what happens after they destroy the darkness? We can see two Bhagavatams, the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. And then these two Bhagavats, they give us bhakti ras. They give us devotional service. So this is a very wonderful process. Worship Gaurini Thai, and then meet the two Bhagavatas, and then get bhakti. So this is our practice. But then the third verse, Paramananda Pataya Prema Varshaksharaya Te. I offer my respectful obeisances to you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss, for your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. So each and every word of Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada said, each and every word is full of volumes of meaning. And one of the Goswamis, I believe it was Jiva Goswami, he used to study Srimad Bhagavatam by offering obeisances to every word of Srimad Bhagavatam. Read a word and offer obeisances. Read a word and offer obeisances. And then he would understand the meaning. So this is another thing. That would be very hard to practice, but you can try it sometime. For one verse. Not for 18,000 verses, but in one verse you may like very much, you can try that. And worshipable by everyone. Srila Prabhupada said, if you chant one chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam every day for 1 year, you will become a great scholar. So I used to do that, and then I ended up teaching Srimad Bhagavatam after that. Because I used to chant a chapter of Bhagavatam every day, or at least the prayers from a certain chapter, for a few years. And then I ended up teaching Bhakti Vaibhava and Bhakti Vedanta. So you can also do that. You can try to chant a chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam every day for 1 year and see what happens. You may be the next Bhakti Vaibhava teacher. So then Bhagavatam is our friend, our guru, our teacher, our wealth. In Tattva-sandarbha, it is described, the Vedas, the Puranas, and the poetic works instruct one like a master, a friend, or a beloved. Now, there's three types of Vedic literature. There's the Vedas, who instruct you like a master, Puranas like a friend, and poetic works like a beloved. Now, Bhagavatam is instructing in which way? Which one of these three? Like a guru, like a friend, like a beloved? Which one? Raise your hand. Who wants to tell? Who would like to tell me which one? I'm hearing some answers. Yes? Like a beloved? Okay. All of them. All of the above, yes. It's a trick question. Like you get in school sometimes. It's all of the above. Like a guru, like a friend, and like a beloved. Like a guru in the first, like in the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Dharma Prochitakaita Vatra, that all these cheating processes are thrown out from Srimad Bhagavatam. So just like at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said to Arjuna, Sarva Dharma Paritaja, Mami Kam Sharanam Raja, that you give up all your ideas of religiosity and just surrender to me. So Bhagavatam begins where Gita ends. It starts, we're kicking out dharma, artha, kama, moksha, and we're only giving pure bhakti, pure love of God. So that's guru. Guru is heavy. Guru is saying, kick out all these other things and just worship Krishna. So that's like a guru, like a friend. When you hear the stories, the beautiful stories of Narada Muni, of Dhruva, these are instructions like a friend. And the beloved is the 10th canto. The 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll just say one verse, which is like a poem from the 31st chapter of 10th canto. Jayati te tikam janmana vrja shayata indira shasharatrahi jayati tishyatam tikshitavakas taititasavas tvam vichindate. The gopi said, O beloved, your birth in the land of Braj has made it exceedingly glorious, and thus Indira, the goddess of fortune, always resides here. It is only for your sake that we, your devoted servants, maintain our lives. We have been searching everywhere for you, so please show yourself to us. So this is an example of the poetry of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the last verse, Asadu Saduta Dain Atini Chochitaraka. O Srimad Bhagavatam, giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen. So Bhagavatam has the power to transform us, all of us, even if we're not devotees, into devotees. And the second verse again, it says, as soon as one submissively and attentively hears Srimad Bhagavatam, then he will be able to capture Krishna in his heart. So this is wonderful. And Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains that even without undergoing the different stages of realization set forth in the Vedas, one can be lifted immediately to the platform of Paramahansa simply by agreeing to receive the message. So, all of you can be Paramahansa simply by agreeing to hear Bhagavatam. That's the process. Prabhupada has made it much more easy and accessible for us. So now, we're going to do our last exercise of the day. Everybody has a book? Who doesn't have a book? Raise your hand. Okay, so we have some books here. Who doesn't have a book can come and take a book from... Okay, you have an extra book?
Yeah.
Okay, he has an extra book. Oh, they have... You don't even... You don't have to come. He has books here. Huh? Any book. Any book. You can just choose one book. Now that everybody has a book, right? Now I want you to divide into groups. This might be hard. Of five or six people. So you need to make little circles here of groups. So I guess you're going to make a mess of all the chairs, but that's okay. This is the last thing we're going to do today. So I guess maybe this first and second row here, then you've got your group over there already, and then a group back here, and then a group over here, and then a group over here with the men. And then here's a group of ladies in front here, and then a group of ladies there with the Chintarupa. And there's a group over here, and then a group in the back. Everybody try to get in a group somehow. You might have to turn around. So you can face your group members. So now, I have to pass out these things. So every group should have this, at least two copies for each group.
Two copies.
Hopefully that'll be enough. Give each group two or three copies, and you can share. Because we don't have enough to go around. Now you're going to read yourself. The reading is going to be by yourself. Everybody's got their own book. So you're going to be reading by yourself. But there are certain things. We're going to be doing prayerful reading. This is Burijan's process. And the goal of this reading is not so much an intellectual gathering of information, but more an attempt to allow Shastra to affect us. We want to gain association of the persons in the book. We want to carefully listen to Krishna's message and let the words sink to the core of our heart. We want depth now. We don't want to go fast. We don't want to get through a certain section. So on your paper, you have number 4. Take time to cultivate an appropriate attitude of approach to your reading. You will soon associate with Krishna through the potent transcendental words spoken by Srila Prabhupada and other great Gaudiya Acharyas. One's mood is therefore that of a soul who is in need of association, guidance, and mercy. Be humble. So number 5 we're going to do right now. Before starting, you may offer prayers to those who you will associate with in your reading. For example, to Srila Prabhupada, Shishi Guru and Garanga, or to Shishi Radha and Krishna. By their mercy, your reading can assist in purifying and illuminating your consciousness. So look at your book and see who's there, who you're going to be associating. You may open to one place in your book. Perhaps you're going to be associating with Shukadeva Goswami if you have Srimad Bhagavatam. Perhaps you're going to be associating with Srila Prabhupada if it's one of his small books or Science of Self-Realization. It's going to be Srila Prabhupada. If you have Chaitanya Charitamrita, then you're going to be associating with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and maybe some of his associates. So open the book to some place where you'd like to start reading. If you have Bhagavad Gita, you're going to be associating with Krishna and Arjuna. So now find out who you're going to be associating with and offer prayers to prayers for realization, to give you something that's relevant for your life. So at this point, you may offer some prayers to whoever you're going to be associating with. So then number 7. I'll explain what you'll be doing, and we won't start yet, but I'll just explain number 7 and 8. Read until a word, a phrase, or an idea strikes you or catches your attention. Stop at that point. You may repeat that meaningful phrase to yourself over and over. You may think aloud or silently, because we got too many people here, about what you've read. But this, when you're by yourself, you can think aloud. But simple repetition often helps more to inspire insights. Repetition, going over a point a second or a third time, can assist deep assimilation and even memorization of that original point that caught your attention. Just stay with that point until you've sufficiently meditated upon it or until it no longer maintains your attention. So then move along, number 8. Slowly reading. Again, until another point strikes you as special. Repeat the process as often as you wish, or for as long as your allotted time remains. So we're going to be reading for 10 minutes by ourselves. So this is the process. You read until a word or a phrase or an idea strikes you. You stop and you just go over that point. Think about it. Think about that point. You all have your own books now? Anybody doesn't have a book? We will give you a book if you don't have. You have a book? Yes? Okay. Yes, you have a question? You don't have a book? You don't have a book. Okay. We have a book up here. You can just pass the book back to him. Here. Here comes a book. Anybody else doesn't have a book? Okay. So now you can start reading. And just read until a point strikes you. And You'll have 10 minutes. So we'll stop in about, 10 minutes. So now you can offer obeisances to Krishna and to those devotees who you've been associating with, and words of appreciation mentally for any realization that may have been offered to you. And now you get in your groups, and each one of you can discuss with your, can tell your other group members, can share what you've read. And what realization or what point struck you is very interesting. So that means you have to get in a circle, probably, so you can hear each other speak. Try to speak softly so that it won't be too loud. If the group is too big, you can make it into two groups. I think here's a huge group, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9, So you can make it 4 and 5, I think. Are we ready? Some of you are ready. Okay, are you okay? All right. So this is a nice way to discuss Srila Prabhupada's books with each other. This is very pleasing to Krishna when you discuss what you read in the with other devotees. It's quite nice. Would anybody like to share something that they read that was very important for you? Anybody have anything that you would like to? Yes.
I read a line from
Nectar Instruction. Text 4. What is charity?
Contributing or distributing the holy name of the Lord.
Contributing or distributing the holy name of the Lord.
Sublime example of contributing or giving charity.
It's a sublime example of contributing or giving charity. So charity means to distribute the holy name of the Lord. That's a wonderful point. So often we think of, maybe we don't often think, but we should think, what is charity? And this is the best charity, to give the holy name. Did anybody else find something that really struck you in your reading today? Yes?
Well, yeah, I was reading this Krishna book by Krishna. Nandamara Putana.
Putana demon.
Nandamaraj, Vasudev advises that Kamsa is doing all these things, so you better get back to
Vrindavan.
Nandamaraj is returning, and while returning, he becomes very fearful. He becomes fearful because of his affection for Krishna.
Right.
And immediately he remembers Supreme Personal of Godhead and takes shelter of him.
Yeah, not Krishna. So that's a good point. Nanda Maharaj was worrying about Krishna on his way back from Mathura, as Vasudeva warned him, and he was taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who wasn't Krishna, who was Narayan. Oh, that's a good point. That's an interesting point.
But then Prabhupada explains that we devotees take care of Krishna immediately whenever there is any danger, because we don't have any other shelter.
Yeah, we take shelter of Krishna whenever we're in danger because we have no other shelter. That's a wonderful point. But then when you go to Braj or Vrindavan, then you see how the devotees, they take shelter of Krishna, but actually they're thinking Narayan's doing it, actually. They think, yes, Krishna's a small boy, but somehow he's very lucky. He's really protected. Maybe we've done some nice sacrifices in our previous lives, so now our wonderful son Krishna is being protected from all these dangers. It's quite a different conception. We think of our danger, but they're thinking of protecting Krishna from danger. So we go to Krishna for protection, but they're going to protect Krishna from danger. Okay, that's also any other interesting points that you give across in your reading? Okay, any questions or comments on today's class? And if not, then Abhilas Srila Prabhupada, we'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be having some different a short video of Prabhupada, some PowerPoint. We'll be using the projector tomorrow, and we'll also be discussing Srila Prabhupada's association tomorrow. Tomorrow will be at 7, and Saturday morning will be at 10 in the morning in the temple with making a personal relationship with the deities, and Saturday night we'll be entering Vrindavan Dham. I'll go to Shiva.